In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I read one line from A Thought to Remember this morning, in today's bulletin. As long as a shred of self-esteem remains in us, we cannot say that we love God. Last Sunday, today, and next Sunday, the church has gone to St. Luke in order to get its information and its lesson and teaching. And last Sunday, you recall, we took a look at the unworthy steward who went about completely wrapped up in himself, doing all the things that self prompted him to do. And we see, or saw rather, how he was cast out into the exterior and had to depend on whoever and however he was to live, at the mercy of those who overlooked his faults of this world. Today, we took a look at our blessed Lord, who wept over Jerusalem. Our Lord was not really weeping because things were being hurt or things were being damaged. He looked at the people and he saw that the people were not paying any attention to what he was trying to tell them that would be for their help and salvation. They were looking at things. They were looking at themselves, and they were dolling up themselves and not their mortal souls. I'm sorry, I can't do much about this. Next Sunday, my beloved people, we will find our way with two gentlemen who will be going up to the temple to pray. And next Sunday, we will hear what our Lord has to say about those two gentlemen. And next Sunday, we will be asked to look into ourselves with honesty to see which one of those two are we like. We're living in critical times. And every morning, we are presented with new and additional things to worry about and to be concerned about. Wherein is our concern? I've asked this question numerous times, not because I have any doubts, but really and mostly to keep us in mind of it. When we ask ourselves, and we must ask ourselves, why do you come here? I ask myself that question. I ask myself that question as far as my having come to a monastery. Why am I in a monastery? Just what is my game, if there is one? What is my purpose in the monastery? How did it happen that I came to the monastery? May I ask you, how did it happen, or how does it happen that you, blessed and holy people, are here? My house is a house of prayer. May I ask that this house here in this place be a house of prayer? We can only hope that the grace of God touches each one of us in the way that Almighty God intends us to be touched by that grace. We say we love God, and that is good. But how do we love God? Who formulated our method of love? Did He formulate it? Or did I put it together? Am I doing it the way He wants me to do it? Or am I sitting up with all of my pomp and not so much circumstance and put it together the way I want it put together? When I preach charity or patience or tolerance or humility or obedience or any of the other virtues, yes, I preach it, but when somebody contradicts my greatness and my vastness and my super intelligence and my very great experience and all of the other great features that I have, don't you ever overlook those. When there's some poor person who contradicts me in all of my vast greatness, oh yes, I've learned to be very clever. I don't show it because I am humble. I'm very humble. But when I'm contradicted, even in the slightest, does my blood pressure go up any? And that blood pressure, beloved people, is the barometer that tells God just exactly where I stand. And that after all, I am nothing. And who that I should be that I should look up with any kind of importance and even dare to mention His divine name? I am not worthy to do that. So thus, for my greatness, today, in a church that has crumbled, you find all kinds who have all kinds of prescriptions and directions and things to say about how things were how things are and what you must do, what you must be like to be a bona fide Catholic. But every place you go tells it to you differently. That makes you wonder. And that adds to the confusion, to the anxieties that you have in your hearts as to who is right and who is not right. We tell ourselves that there is no centralized leadership that describes to us what we must do. Well, as the world turns, that is correct. But we cannot say in an actual fact that we do not have a centralized point of leadership, because we do. And what is that point of leadership? Truth. And there is only one truth. And each one of us has the ability to reach that truth if we were just humble enough to go there to that fountain and drink of it, and for goodness sake, to leave self out. Remember what I said a moment ago. As long as a shred of self-esteem, and let us change the word self-esteem to another word or the term. As long as there is a shred of pride inside of me, I cannot say that I am drinking at the fountain of truth. Pride and truth do not get along together. Because why? Because pride determines what I want to believe and what I do not want to believe. And only that which enhances me, either in looks or in ability or in any other form of chicanery that I am interested in, as long as pride is there, I have squeezed out that much of God from within me. It is not so much what Christ tells me that is that way important, because it is, or what Christ shows me. It is what Christ is. And as long as I go around parading myself and remember what I always tell us about the famous peacock, who when he shows off his beautiful feathers, you finish that story, that part. What does he display? That's the way it is of a proud man or woman. If we want Christ, we can only get to him by way of the road of humility. And what is humility? Humility is truth. Humility is honesty. Humility is all the virtues in one. Holy humility. And it is only by the steps of humility that we will reach Christ. Next week, we will hear again from St. Luke. And we will hear the difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. And Christ makes no apologies about it. He tells us in so many words who is who and what is what. There's nothing that says we have to do it provided we show off in this present life. But the ignorance of anybody who emphasizes the virtues and the important appearances of this present life as opposed to that of our soul condition, woe to that person. Pride is something of such power that not even Almighty God can penetrate it. And when Satan said, "I will not serve," when Lucifer said, "I will not serve," there was nothing that could be done about it. Nothing that has been done about it. And he would rather burn in hell for all eternity than to give in and say, "I was wrong. Please forgive me." He knows no forgiveness. He seeks no forgiveness. He lives in unforgiveness and will cherish unforgiveness before he will go after the peace of God. My beloved people, I said a moment ago, we all know of the problems that face us from every direction today. And with what lightning speed these problems confront us. It is time that we, at least my friends, I can hear him say, it is time that we would fall to our knees. And it is time that we also, beloved friends, those of you that are parents of growing children, for goodness sake, look to your children. Teach them. Show them. We have this wonderful demonstration right now, a prayer coming from Father Graff. Teach your children what prayer life is. Teach your children what humility is. We do not allow crazy discussions to take place amongst us because they gather nothing but evil fruit from evil trees. So let us, my beloved people, do what we are called upon to do and to be, children of God. And let us give forth from ourselves that aura, that halo, which is visible of honesty and truth. With that, I will close for this morning. But I will also, one thing left that I failed to mention a moment ago, next Sunday is picnic Sunday, potluck. Nobody is excused. Be there. If you didn't bring anything, or then bring your appetite with you and eat. And be there to have fun. Laugh. I was told once upon a time, because there are those who go about, I was told once upon a time that somebody said about religious communities like monks and nuns, oh, a monk doesn't laugh. A nun doesn't laugh. Control yourself. A religious community that does not laugh is a sick community that does not laugh. And those of us who cannot laugh, those are the ones that should go to the doctor to see what's wrong. Laugh, my dear people. Don't be afraid to laugh an honest laugh. And offer your joy to God. Offer your joy to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it is. I cannot imagine laughter not being existent in heaven. I simply cannot imagine that. When you go to the picnic, think fun things. Think honest, good, humble, fun things. Think of God. Think of Nazareth. Do you think for one brief moment there was not honest laughter and joy and peace in Nazareth? Don't be silly. It was there. And the three of them, you can be sure, enjoyed the happiness and peace that was brought there by Him who is happiness and peace, who is happiness and peace, Jesus Christ Himself. So, go to the picnic and have fun, and tell me or us about it, because we will be here in the monastery where we belong, and we will be offering our penance of not being with you, because we love you and would love to be with you, but we'll stay home. God bless you, my beloved people, and protect you. That's the main thing that I want for each of you, is protection, divine protection, protection that is honest and true and sincere. God bless you again and again.